Okay. Well, I did not plan on my mom being here from California. So I told a few girlfriends that I was praying. Saturday night, I was up at 3 in the morning, and because she had told me she was going to come, and I couldn't sleep. And I was like, oh, yeah, I think it's coming. I think I'm getting what's going around. You know, the babies had it. They were throwing up. Megan got it. Then Ryan had the chills and the whatever was going through them, and then the kefirs just went through the kefirs, and I was like, okay, it's coming. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely nauseous. Yep, I'm not going to church Sunday, and then I can cancel Monday night, right? Okay. So anyway, I woke up Sunday morning exhausted for church, and I felt fine. So I was like, okay, Lord, just spiritual warfare. So I'm prepping, I want to be honest with you, in prepping and preparing for this, I really searched. There's not a whole lot out there on 2 Timothy, and most of the times I do listen to a couple messages, and I have to say this format is my mother-in-law's format. I tweaked it in some way. I mean, my mom's format, not my mother-in-law, format, because I listened to it and I was like, yes, yes, yes. Like, I just was like, yes, Lord, this is so good. So I pray that you guys are really blessed tonight. I just felt like he just kept confirming it over and over again. So 2 Timothy introduction. A sanctified will. Oh, my gosh, I don't have my glasses. I'm so sorry. A sanctified will must dominate impulse. A sanctified will must dominate impulse. Feelings and impulses can destroy your life, especially us as women, because our feelings can be so strong. Ladies, I can't say it enough, but please make sure you're sitting with the Lord daily. Ask him to speak to you. Follow a reading plan to guide you. Or pick a book of the Bible to read it through. He will be faithful to meet you there and speak to you. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I did not understand anything I'm reading. I was reading, so I would go to the Psalms and just do a little bit. I had a busy week this week, and I think a lot of it was spiritual warfare. And yesterday or this morning, I was finally able to just sit, light my candle, and sit and not have any distraction interruptions. And the Lord met me. He met me there. And that's why I just want to share it with you. This is what he said to me. I'm reading in 2 Corinthians right now, and I'm reading a psalm. Tony and I are doing this read through the Bible thing together. So this is what he said. Chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians is titled The Spiritual War. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I tell you, the week that I had with the night of not sleeping, I feel like that's where the enemy attacks me, and I just have horrible, horrible thoughts. And he met me this morning, and he reminded me, this is spiritual warfare. This isn't your thoughts. This isn't what you're thinking. And then in Psalm 20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. So I tell you, he will be faithful to meet you there. Just do little bits. I'll say that till I'm gone to you girls. So we see Paul's writing another letter. Paul was released from his first Roman imprisonment for a short time, in which he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus. Scholars believe that 2 Timothy was written while Paul was in prison, apparently arrested as part of Nero's persecution of Christians. His first imprisonment in Rome was before Nero started his evil persecution of Christians. So Paul was only on house arrest at that time, so he still had opportunity for ministry. But this time, he is in a Roman dungeon and in chains and with no hope of deliverance. I don't know that I'd be thinking about anyone else. I'd be sitting there crying, falling apart. He was facing execution, and he knew it, and he's thinking of others. I don't think we as women, we go through trials, but I don't think we're facing execution. Think about this man as we study 2 Timothy. He loved Jesus the way he did, that he was willing to die for Jesus. Here he is sitting in a cold cell, writing a letter, thinking about someone else and not a self. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, he said that I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. So he knew he was facing the end of his life. The date as best can be established was approximately AD 67. And not long afterward, according to tradition, the apostle was beheaded. It seems that Paul was concerned for Timothy, that he was weakening spiritually. This letter was written to encourage him, his successor, to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. The primary theme of this letter is the need of faithfulness in the face of hardship. And I feel like we need to hear that more than anything right now. It's the need for faithfulness in the face of hardship. The key verse is Timothy 1, 13 through 14. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This book is about standing strong and not caving. And we're going to look at four words that can help us do that. It is the call to courage, the character, caution, and the charge. I'm just going to give you a little overview of 2 Timothy. I feel like 2 Timothy has got a lot more practical stuff in there for us, practically, in life, general life, because I know sometimes you read it and you're like, or even Tony might be teaching and he'll say, if you're in ministry, and I'm like, people are probably thinking, well, I'm not in ministry. How does this apply to me? So I feel like I love it. Like James, when we did James, it was just very applicable. So there's some really good things we can draw from this. So the first chapter, we see the call of a good soldier. If we're going to be good soldiers, we have to prepare for the battle. Any dead fish can swim downstream, right? When you stand up for truth, you will be persecuted. The world standard is just to keep lowering the bar. His banner over us is love, and we do not operate on the same principle as this crazy world does around us. When you stand in Christ, you walk in truth, even when it hurts. And truth is not a moving target because the Bible never changes. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same through every single generation. His truth stays the same. So the first thing is the call of a good soldier. It's a call to courage. Chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is such a good verse for the days that we're living in. So chapter 1 is a call to courage, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. You can just turn the news in and you're like drowning in fear. That's why I don't watch it. But a power and love and sound mind. What is crippling you right now? In your mind, in your thoughts, that you're so filled with fear that you can't move forward. Or maybe you can't sleep at night. Number 2 is verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love which are Christ Jesus. So number 1, we're not supposed to be afraid. Number 2, we're supposed to guard the treasure of God's word that is hidden in our hearts. The standard of sound words which you've heard from me. That's what Paul told Timothy. Guard it. Don't lose it. My mom would say this to the grandkids. You are braver than you believe. You are stronger than you seem. You are smarter than you think. And I have to share the story. When she took me in, I was leaving Millville High School. I was in all remedial classes because I did not care anymore. No adult cared, so why should I care anymore? So eighth grade, when you're supposed to take that test, I just marked it all up. I didn't even read the questions. And so ninth grade, I had no idea what it was going to do to me, but it put me in all remedial classes in Millville High School. And at that time, you're either with the jocks or the druggies. I was with the druggies, like all the people who partied. And I was like, what am I doing in these classes? And next thing I know, I was just skipping school with them. I was just doing stupid things. And I remember when she had me move in with her, she said, okay, we're going to switch schools, which was already super scary, you know, to switch from Millville from Vineland. One, they're rivalry schools. But then she was telling me, she was arguing with the guidance counselor when we went to pick my classes, saying, you're not putting her in these classes. And he kept saying to her, no, she cannot go in college prep classes. She doesn't. And she argued and won the argument. And I was like, you really think I can do college prep classes? Like, I have no idea. Like, because she believed in me, I got straight A's that year.
Yes.
Straight A's. So remember that. You are braver than you believe. You are stronger than you seem. And you are smarter than you think. That's how our Lord feels about us. When we're dying to self and we're allowing him to be on the throne, when we've surrendered all and we're truly walking with him the way we're supposed to. That's just the truth, because Jesus lives in you, so you don't have to be afraid. So we learn in 1 Timothy that we are to fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life to which we are called. So a good soldier knows what the call of the Lord is in his life. Isaiah 43:1-2 says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. It doesn't say if you pass through the waters. When? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. You do not have to be afraid. And here's the truth. Some of us are going to die. That's just the truth. Some of us are going to walk through some very difficult things, some difficult diagnoses, different family circumstances. But we don't have to be afraid. We can hang on to the Lord, hang on to his truth, and lean on one another. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we need to know the call of a good soldier, and that we are not to be afraid, and that we're to hold on to the word of God. Put it on little, I still do, write it out on index cards and just put it throughout my house to remind me, because it's hard to always remember that verse that might have spoke to you. So put it out there. Or even when Abby taught, she shared in that, where that journal that her friend gave her, and she wrote what the Lord was doing, you know, all the things. It's so fun to be able to go back. You know, when you are struggling and you're walking through a trial, the world wants to lie to us and say, see, I told you he doesn't love you. See, where is he now? But those are intended for us to grab onto him even tighter, ladies. Not to fall apart and let go of him, but hold on even tighter. Go deeper. Make your roots go down deeper. I was thinking of all that wind, you know, yesterday and today, and I was watching the trees. I'm like, oh, are you going to fall? Like, across the street, there's all these woods. I was like, oh, they could fall. And I'm like, no. You know what the wind does to the trees? It makes the roots stronger under the ground. Isn't that cool? So that's what the trials in our life, the things that are hard, the things that are difficult, the difficult coworker, the boss, whatever it might be, family member, diagnosis, whatever, spiritual warfare, whatever it is that you can fill in the blank, you know, hold on tight to him and his word. A good soldier knows their calling, and they are not afraid to stand in it. That's number one. Number two, the second C word, is character. The character of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. Verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And verse 24 says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. So here God is telling us the character of a good soldier. In the first chapter, Paul told Timothy what the call was. Now in the second chapter, it's the character of a good soldier of Jesus Christ, what that looks like. Gifts are given to us, but character is formed one day at a time, right? It's how you with little people or teenagers, right? It's in the choices they're making, the decisions, their characters being formed. We build it piece by piece, thoughts by thought, choices, courage, and determination. Character means doing the right thing, even when nobody else does. I have a little short story to tell. So the other day, I told Tony, I said, come on, I gotta go run a few errands. And we went and saw my grandmother, and then we went to go run these errands, and I'm making little baskets for my grandsons, and so I wanted these little bunny pajamas. So I had ordered a bunny pajama with just these cute little bunnies on them. And, well, now they know, but anyway. Anyway, so what came was an overall outfit, and the price tag on it was $40. Okay, for one, I would not spend $40 on an overall outfit, on one outfit, when I have two grandkids already and two coming. Like, there's no way. So I go, Tony, we got to just run to the store. I tried calling, like, the online number, and I called them and just got more frustrated because she just kept saying, I need your address because I want to send you a $100 voucher. I'm like, I don't want your $100 voucher. I just want you to fix my problem with these jammies because I know, too, they'll clearance out and then they'll be gone. So I hung up. She wasn't able to help me. She wanted me my address, and I wasn't giving it out. He stays in the car. He's got his notes, and he's looking at his notes. And I run into Carter's, and I show the lady. She's the manager of the store, the Carter's, right in Mays Landing. And I said, hey, so this came. It's not what I ordered. See the receipt? Does the receipt show that? It's none of that. She goes, no. She goes, that's not. I'm so sorry. I said, yeah, and the number I called, but I kept, it was crazy. She said, no problem here. You know, let me fix it. So she fixed it, and I said, okay, great. She goes, well, you can keep it. I go, keep what? The overall of it. And I go, oh, no. She goes, or better yet, why don't you just, you know, I'll credit you $40 and you can just spend the $40 here in the store. And I'm like, well, Tony's not right here. $40 sounds like a lot of money to split between three babies, you know? And I was like, Lord. I felt the Lord talking to me. I was like, you know what? That's really sweet of you that you're just wanting to give that away. But you know what? That's going to hurt your company. You're going to lose out on a $40 outfit. And I said, no, I want you to just put that back in your inventory, and I just want you to fix the problem. Bigger thing is I just want to make sure I wasn't charged the $40. And please keep it. I just want the jammies, you know? So those are the times, and I'm only sharing that not to, for a pat on my back, but you're living for an audience of one. Right. Tony wasn't there, but my Lord was right there. My Lord was right next to me. And I thought, I want to do what's right, Lord. And it's not right for me to take that outfit. I didn't pay for it. It was a mistake on their part that they sent it to me. So think about those things when you're out and about doing life. Not because you think it'll change the world, but you refuse to be changed by the world. The world would say, give me the $40 on a credit. Let me get some more things for my grandkids. That's what the world would say. And I'm hoping me and this manager are going to have a long-time relationship because I like going in there buying my kids things. So, I don't know, maybe she'll see Jesus one day. Helen Keller said this, character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through the experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, vision cleared, ambition inspired, and success achieved. So God wants us to have strong character. We all get hurt in a fallen world, but the key is, but by the grace of God, there go I. So watch your character. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Notice what he says, to be strong in grace. That's really hard, isn't it? We're not supposed to be strong like the Pharisees tried to be strong. We're supposed to be strong in grace. Well, how do you do that? Grace is getting blessed with what you don't deserve. Showing each other grace and mercy. Be diligent, presenting yourself to God, looking for God's approval, not man's. Live for an audience of one. It doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks of you. And I know that's really hard for women. But let me remind you, it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks of you but Jesus. Just live for him. Psalm 101:3 says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. So number one, be strong in grace. Number two, be diligent to present yourself to God. Number three, be kind to all. Romans 2:4 says, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and restraint and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? A good soldier is strong in grace, diligent to present themselves to God, and kind to all. Number three, the third chapter of 2 Timothy is the caution of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Have you ever heard, if you don't love yourself, then you can't love anyone else? I believe loving myself as a teenager almost destroyed me before finding Christ, because I was doing whatever I wanted to make me happy, buying whatever I wanted to make me happy. Well, this guy doesn't make me happy. Let me try out this guy. Well, this job isn't doing it anymore. This job's getting hard. I don't want to be here anymore. Let's try this other job out. Maybe this will make me happy. Well, I know. I just got to get out of the state. It's New Jersey. Let me go to California. All the Christians are in California and the cute ones, right? And I went there, and that didn't make me happy. So is lovers of self a bad thing? He says it here in verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves. Don't I have to love myself before I love others? Paul said in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. So we really are to die to ourselves, to live for Christ. What if the best explanation is to love yourself simply means to receive the love of God? When you've been through hard times and you're suffering, you've got to take care of yourself. You've got to stop and sit at his feet. There's been times where I can't. When my birth brother was injured, his arms were taken off of him, I could barely sit in worship without sitting there sobbing, because I was wondering how he was going to do life after that. I just had so many questions. What was going to happen? So you got to stop and take care of yourself. But what if to love yourself simply means to receive God's love and his forgiveness, accepting the life you have and welcoming the presence of God into it and allow it to transform to his glory? He moves in and begins to restore the broken, heal the sick, and straighten the crooked. He brings light into darkness, forgives the guilty, and cleans the filthy, and loves the lost and lonely. And when I began to receive the love of Christ, it melted away all the rejection I felt as a child and all the abuse that had happened. Self became vulnerable when I died to self, and I welcomed his presence into my life to heal up all those hurting places that needed his love. So a good soldier uses caution and recognizes the difficult times we live in. So there's the call of God, the character of God, the caution of God. Now, lastly, in chapter 4 is the charge of a good soldier. In verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And in verse 5 of chapter 4, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. He just told him all kinds of crazy stuff is going to happen before Jesus comes back. Men will be lovers of themselves, call right wrong, and be lovers of money. And we see all that right now, right? In our world, all around us. And then he says, be sober in all things, Timothy. Endure hardship, because it's coming. Do the work of an evangelist. Talk about Jesus. I have to share that when you are at work, people know. They know. They're watching you, and you may be the only book someone ever reads. the Bible that someone ever reads. They know there's a difference. So you never know what someone's gleaning from your life. Share the good news and the hope of Jesus Christ. Endure hardship. Fulfill your ministry. And I want to encourage you, what is that ministry? Well, if you got little people, if you have kids in your house, that is your first ministry. Amen. Forget everything else. You have 18 years. Maybe a few of the college, but it kind of gets really hard then. 18 years to pour into them, to build their character, to help them be all that God intends them to be, and then they're gone. And I tell you, it really does truly go fast. I didn't believe the people ahead of me that used to tell me that, because it felt like forever, especially the early years changing diapers. But it really is a very important ministry, your first ministry. And those that kids aren't home anymore, it could be your job. Whatever it is, you ask the Lord, and He will be faithful to show. Maybe it's a family member that you're constantly showing love to. Having them over for dinner and just constantly giving them grace and mercy, showing them those, being active in it. So endure hardship. We can't be a chocolate soldier. I'm not going to melt at the first sign of hardship. 2 Corinthians 5, 18-20 says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Be reconciled to God. You want courage instead of fear? Be reconciled. Keep shortcomings with him. You know what I mean? Confess quickly. You know, if you're having struggle, like if you're having these thoughts and you're like, oh, that's not of me, talk to him. Lord, where is this coming from? I really don't want this to happen. Please help me. You know, keep a short leash is what I'm saying. You want joy and abundant life? Be reconciled to God. What purpose this brings to my life? I pray that we would fulfill the ministry that God has given us to do until he comes. Jude 1:3, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. So I challenge you to stay in the word. Know what your call is. Take care of our character so that we stay strong. We need to pay attention to the cautions and know how to combat them. And then we need to have the charge to be ambassadors for Christ until he comes." I want to share with you this poem that I thought was really beautiful. Because I'll be 53 in July, and honestly, I used to get mad at people that say, oh, I can't wait till he comes back. I'd be like, wait, be quiet. I want to get married. I want to find a godly man first. I want to have a child. I want to experience what it is to be a Gigi, a grandma, you know? And I would get angry at them, you know? But now, turning 53 in July, I crave to be in heaven with him. And I can't wait. I can't wait. Watching my grandmother battle this last, she'll be 94 in May, and watching her, I keep saying, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be where she's at. It's hard. It's hard watching her. And I go in there, and it's not her. It's her physical, it's her temp, but it's not my mama anymore. There's bouts, little time. It's getting shorter and shorter. There used to be longer bouts of her, and they're getting shorter and shorter. And the other day, I saved. She used to call me when she was at the other nursing home in Lincoln, in Vineland, and she would leave me messages. Hi, Trish. When are you coming? Betty said we could go get curtains at Boscoff's. I want red ones. And we can go to Chicken Little, which is Chick-fil-A. And I saved those messages because that's my mama. I'm getting little tiny bits of her. And it makes you just long for heaven. So this is a poem by C.T. Studd, a farewell letter to his grandchildren in the last year of his life, 1931. He said, "My loving advice to you is summed up in a few lines, which I want you to learn by heart. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last." Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart. and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn. From the word now let from the world now let me turn. Living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. Let's pray.